The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the January-February issue of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we will hear from the editor in Life at SL, and then we'll go on to some winning game day recipe for pimiento cheese dip and oven-baked chicken wings for your Super Bowl party. All right, are we ready? The cover of this magazine has a background. It appears to be a table. We're looking down at the table. And the table is a combination of, it's an orangey brown. So it's a meld of the brown of soil or coffee grinds mixed with the orange of the morning sunlight. And we're looking down at a baking pan, and it occupies from the top to the bottom of the cover vertically. What we're looking at the top or one end of the baking pan are two small round white porcelain serving cups or dishes. The one on the left is piled high with coleslaw, white with some carrot strips and orange carrot strips and some red onion. And the other is filled with baked beans. In the center of these two dishes are some celery stalks, some long green celery stalks. Little hint of springtime there. And then there's a small cup of ranch dressing that appears to be strewn with some of the sauce from the adjacent chicken wings that are a golden brown, that same combination of soil and sunlight colors that are baked chicken wings. And they are interspersed with pickle chips. And from the top to the bottom, the cover reads, Southern Living, the wing list, 20 best chicken wing spots in the South, plus winning Super Bowl recipes. January, February 2026, a hobby garden in full bloom, the rich taste of chicory dessert, and the cheeriest home in Florida. And now we'll begin with Life at SL. And this, listeners, as you may know, is the editor's essay which begins every issue of the magazine. And this essay always starts with a quote. This is one of the greatest pleasures of my life has been that I have never stopped learning about good cooking and good food. And that's by Edna Lewis. And here begins our essay, listeners. The Treasure Hunt, a search for lost Southern Living recipes, has turned up some gems. One of the best parts of my job is getting the chance to meet with our longtime readers. Every one of them has a different Southern Living story, but the themes are often the same. Aside from the rare occasions when they have a bone to pick with me about a cover they didn't like or a favorite barbecue joint we omitted, they want to talk about their connection to the magazine. In many cases, it's been in their family for generations, and they associate it with memories of their mother or grandmother. I hear about the stacks of issues and cookbooks they've collected, idea houses they've visited, and recipes they've been making for decades. At a recent event we hosted in Lexington, Virginia, a charming woman asked me to sign her well-worn copy of the Southern Living Cookbook, which we first published in 1987. Of course, I couldn't take any credit for that one. I was still in high school. But she wanted me to know what these recipes had meant to her family. As I opened the book and turned the pages, It seemed she knew many of them by heart. Leading up to the 60th anniversary of Southern Living in 2026, don't worry, we'll be celebrating properly soon. We've been spending a lot of time digging through our vast archive of vintage recipes. We estimate there are more than 30,000 we've never published online. So it felt like the right time to play catch-up. For our food editors, the assignment has resembled treasure hunt. Yes, there are a few dogs in the bunch. A questionable tuna bake with cream of celery soup and two cans of English peas. But there are also plenty of gems. Senior editor Josh Miller came across Party Cherry Pie, which is shown, listeners, in a photo at the left, here. And I'll describe this photo to you now. This is the Party Cherry Pie. It is on a sitting on a table of pink and red plaid. And the pie is in a glass, Pyrex is what we used to call it, Pyrex dish, a glass baking pie dish. And it's got a white crust around. It's a round dish, of course, a white crust around the pie that you can see the crust edges. It's thick. The crust edge is thick around. And then the pie is just filled with cherries and a top center, which really covers almost all of the pie, almost out to the crust, but not quite, is a huge pile of whipped cream. And it is topped with a few scattered cherries with the stems still attached. All right, back to our essay, listeners. Senior editor Josh Miller came across Party Cherry Pie from our first issue in February 1966, which he describes as, quote, a perfect mix of silky smooth filling and crunchy meringue. Senior lifestyle editor Ivy Odom found a 1982 recipe for southern fried potatoes that called for cooking them with onions, which she says is the way my mama made them my whole life. And associate editor Alana Al Hatlani was initially dubious about a 2005 method for biscuits that involved a can of Sprite, but they turned out to be excellent. There's a reason these classics have stood the test of time. They came from readers like you, and they were vetted by Southern cooks who knew their way around a kitchen. I'll share more in a future issue about what we're doing with all of them, but for now, I need your help. If you have a favorite recipe from an old copy of Southern Living, anything from before 2007 when we started publishing most things online, I would love to hear about it. If you can, tell me what issue it came from, who's known for making it, and why it's so special to your family. Meanwhile, I hope to run into some of you as I'm traveling around the South. I always love a good Southern Living story. Just give me a break on those overlooked barbecue joints. Like our old recipes, there are too many great ones to count. Signed, Sid Evans, Editor-in-Chief. And listeners, you can reach him if you'd like to send a recipe to him or for any other reason. You can reach him at Sid, and that's spelled S as in Sam, I, D as in David, at southernliving.com. And that is our essay, Southern Living, Life at SL, at Southern Living. And now it's time to move on to our barbecued wings recipe. This is for game day, if y'all are If y'all are planning a Super Bowl party or you need something to bring to your Super Bowl party, game day, this is entitled Game Day, and it says pimiento cheese taquitos and crispy oven-baked wings are a crowd-pleasing matchup for Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, let's see. And it looks awfully good. And it is in, again, you've got your, well, it's a two-page article, recipe, mostly a recipe. And on one page are our, well, the pimiento cheese taquitos. And they are cylindrical. They look like, if you've ever had churros, they're about the size of those. Kind of small, not too thick. And they're rolled up. And we'll see more about them in a moment. And they're golden, this color of sunlight. They're sitting here upon a teal colored, the color of the sea is what the plate is, the round plate that they're sitting on. And they are garnished with some parsley flakes. And sticking out of either end is a reddish color. And we'll read about what that is in a moment. And on the side, it appears to be a dill dressing in a round bowl. And then we'll read about these first, and then we'll move on to our chicken, crispy oven-baked chicken wings, all right? These are the pimiento cheese taquitos. Go for two, a crowd-pleasing matchup for Super Bowl Sunday. The pimiento cheese taquitos, the active time to cook these is 30 minutes. The total preparation time is 1 hour and 10 minutes. And it serves 8. Here are your ingredients. 2 cups shredded sharp cheddar cheese, and that's 8 ounces. 1 7-ounce jar of diced pimientos, drained. 1 4-ounce can of chopped green chilies, drained. 3/4 cup of cooked and crumbled bacon from 9 slices. 3 tablespoons of mayonnaise. 3/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder. 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper divided. 16 6-inch corn tortillas. Excuse me, lightly coated with cooking spray. 1 large egg beaten. 2 tablespoons of canola oil. And 1/2 cup of ranch dressing. Plus some chopped fresh cilantro and chopped fresh dill. All right, so listeners, what's sprinkled, that garnish that I called parsley, is chopped cilantro, all right? And now for our steps. Step 1, stir together cheddar cheese, pimentos, green chilies, cooked bacon, mayonnaise, kosher salt, garlic powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper in a large bowl until combined. Set aside. Step 2. Stack 8 tortillas coated with cooking spray. Wrap in damp paper towels. Place on a microwavable plate and cover tightly with plastic wrap. Microwave on high until hot and pliable, about 1 minute 30 seconds. Step 3. Working with 1 hot tortilla at a time, brush egg on 1/2 of each tortilla. Spread 2 tablespoons of cheese mixture over the 1/2 of each hot tortilla. Starting with the cheese-covered half, tightly roll into a log about 1 inch thick. Transfer to a plate, seam side down. Repeat microwaving and filling process with remaining 8 tortillas, egg, and cheese mixture. Freeze the rolled tortillas 30 minutes. Place a large rimmed baking sheet on bottom rack of oven. Preheat to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Step 4. Brush rolled tortillas with oil. Place seam side down on hot baking sheet. Bake until crispy, which is 10 to 14 minutes. Turning after 6 minutes of baking. And 5, the final step, stir together ranch dressing and remaining 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper in a bowl. Transfer taquitos to a platter. Garnish with cilantro. Top ranch mixture with dill, little pieces of dill, before serving. And those are your pimento cheese taquitos. And now, listeners, moving on to the next facing page here, which is half covered with a photo of an oval cream-colored plate. And that plate is 3/4 filled with golden brown chicken wings that look crispy. They also look moist, listeners. We'll find out why in a moment when we read this recipe. And there's a bowl of ranch dressing, and that is in a sea-colored round bowl. I'm calling it ranch dressing. I don't know that. Excuse me, listeners. Bowl of dressing. We'll find out in a moment. And then it's also accompanied by some carrot sticks and celery sticks on the side. And here we are with our crispy oven-baked chicken wings. The active time for this is 10 minutes, and the total cooking time is 1 hour, and it serves 6. The ingredients are 3.5 pounds of chicken wings, which is about 13 whole wings, cut at joints, wing tips discarded. 1 tablespoon of baking powder and 4 teaspoons of kosher salt. And a half a cup of hot sauce. And then blue cheese dressing. That's what that dressing is. Blue cheese dressing and crudités. And here are your steps. Step 1, preheat the oven to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Pat chicken wings dry with paper towels and place in a large bowl. Stir together baking powder and salt in a small bowl. Sprinkle over chicken. Toss well to coat. Step 2, line a rimmed baking sheet with parchment paper or aluminum foil and top with a wire rack. Coat with cooking spray. Arrange chicken fatty side down in a single layer. Step 3. Bake until crisp and golden on one side, about 25 minutes. Then turn chicken over and bake until well browned and crispy, about 25 more minutes. Transfer to a large bowl, toss with hot sauce until well coated, and transfer wings to a platter. Serve with blue cheese dressing and crudités. And here the crudités are those celery and carrot sticks, listeners. Excuse me. And then There's a footnote. Not a fan of hot sauce? Toss the wings in a mixture of 1/4 cup of hot honey and 1/4 cup of melted butter instead. Mmm, that sounds pretty good. I hope you all have a happy game day. And now we'll move on to our next piece, which is called Let's Wing It. And this is a smoky, saucy, spicy, and somewhat messy guide to the best chicken wings in the South. And this is by Matt Moore. And this begins with a photo of some assorted chicken wings. Again, our golden brown combination of the color of morning sunlight and the earth's pure soil. And it's on paper, which is it's on a rimmed baking tray that's lined with some white paper. It says chicken wing platter at local Q in South Carolina. And the paper here is splashed with barbecue sauce, has splashes of barbecue sauce on it. And it's accompanied by some celery sticks, or crudités, as we called them previously here in the magazine. And a couple of sauces for dipping as well. All right, let's get started. What's that on your shirt? Tim McGraw once sang about a barbecue stain on his white T-shirt. But I had bigger problems, as my newly minted bride had pointed out. There was a chicken wing smear on my tuxedo at my own wedding. Sure, I could have been more careful, but when the Loveless Cafe is serving up crispy fried wings in the buffet line, a wardrobe malfunction is worth the tasty reward. In the South, chicken wings are more than just food. They're an essential part of weddings, tailgates, cookouts, and even funerals. My cousin, Sam Dennis, always ensures that fried wings from Valdosta, Georgia's hip-hop hot chicken and seafood show up for all of my family's gatherings, whether we're celebrating or remembering. Buffalo, New York's Anchor Bar has laid its claim to the most famous chicken wing in America. But as with many beloved creations, the history is not so linear. In 1964, Dominic Bellissimo, the bar's owner, asked his mother, Teresa, to make a late-night snack for him and his friends. She had some wings on hand, which were usually used in soups, so she fried them up and slathered them in a spicy sauce. This impromptu combination stuck and, over time, became the city's namesake food. Ah, that's usually where the story ends. But there is evidence that the buffalo wing actually has Southern roots. Also around this time, Alabama-born chef and restaurateur John Young opened Wings and Things in Buffalo, where he served them deep-fried and dipped in his secret mumbo sauce, a sweet and spicy tomato-based condiment. His daughter, Lena Brown Young, now sells it by the bottle, and his story has been added to New York's chicken wing canon. Distinct from other dishes, there are no hard and fast rules when it comes to wings. They can be brined, rubbed, breaded, smoked, or deep fried and then dipped or drizzled with a seemingly endless number of sauces. Unlike barbecue, which is still largely dominated by local tastes, the chicken wing has taken flight as regional favorites have found fans hundreds of miles from their sources. On my hunt for the South's best wings, I went to dive bars, food trucks, pizza places, barbecue joints, and other establishments, both well-known and emerging. A combination of personal experience, trusted recommendations, and award recognition helped form this list, which focuses on destinations that have pioneered or perfected iconic styles. You may take aim at some of my choices, but unlike these birds, I have tough skin. In the South, wing eating isn't a competition. It's a connection to community, flavor, and tradition. Just be sure to ask for extra napkins. And we begin our tour at the local, the land of lemon pepper, in Atlanta, Georgia. I was born and raised in the Atlanta area, but 2 decades ago, I moved to Nashville, leaving behind some of the best food in the South. I grieved over losing the myriad Asian eateries along Buford Highway, piping hot slices at Fellini's Pizza, tacos from Toxco, and buffalo wings at the local, a dive bar with a strict 21 and up policy. Lemon pepper wings are an acclaimed Atlanta creation with a seasoning made from lemon zest, salt, and black pepper. As with any dry rub, there are lots of riffs on this blend that you'll find all over the city and even the country. They're prepared in a variety of ways, from simply seasoned or dry is what simply seasoned is called, listeners, to seasoned and drowning in butter, which is what is called wet also. The local has a wet combo of buffalo sauce and lemon pepper seasoning, paired with smoked fall-off-the-bone wings. It's a glorious thing. When I return with friends in tow, I am ready to taste tradition and greatness. At the local, the wings sell out faster and draw lines down the block. And because we're now older, responsible gentlemen, our group arrives promptly at opening time to claim our spot. Despite our best intentions, we had failed to read the online disclaimers that while the bar is open on Mondays, wings are not served that day. The folks at the local do not bend the rules. No wings for you, a la Seinfeld. Visit any day but Monday or Tuesday when they're closed. And listeners, we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. We hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.